Fast Food Live. Hi, I'm Irene Watson. I'm your host for today and sitting in for our regular host, Juanita Watson. Today I'm talking on the phone from Washington, D.C. metro area with Maria Lucia, author of Liberation, Book 1 of the Andrusian Chronicles. Although her book is fiction and in the science fiction genre, you know, there's just so much more to it. It is written in current times, and the story takes place in Washington, D.C. It also interweaves the spiritual, galactic, national, and spiritual realms. So she's really going to be giving us a challenge as readers to really go within and find our own answer to the what-if question. But first of all, before we talk to Maria, I'd like to introduce you to her and just give you a little bit of information about her. Maria Lucia was born in Havana, Cuba, and having defected to the United States in 1960, fleeing from the Fidel Castro's regime, she possessed a true and in-depth understanding of the power and unlimited potential of evolving and beginning again. So many of us have the same experience, and so many of us don't, so we have a lot to learn from Maria. A University of Memphis education graduate and a professional musician and vocalist, Maria moved deeply into the study of music and launched a very successful musical career in 1984, which included experiencing music on a performance level with a world-renowned jazz ensemble and on the educational level as well. Her experience includes programs for gifted children in the public school system and creativity seminars for musicians at the university level. She has been a musical director for church programs, composer of music, and a producer of concerts. In 1997, Maria launched her first school focused on spiritual heart studies and became a full-time spiritual growth teacher. She has traveled nationally, performing and delivering seminars for more than 20 years. She is the author of The Heart's Unraveling. It's a guidebook for her current school and is working full-time on writing and launching her new book, Liberation, Book 1 of the Andrusian Chronicles. And that's what we're going to be focusing on today. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Irene.
I'm so glad to be talking to you because what we're going to be talking today is about one of my favorite topics, and I'm really excited to talk to you. We talked a little bit offline a little while ago, and kind of gave me an opportunity to say, yes, I really do want to interview and let other people know about you and your book. And so, listeners, just stay tuned because this is going to be a good one. So, Maria, you know, from what I know about you, you really do like cutting-edge people.
I do.
I know. So let's just kind of get our listening audience engaged in this, and let's get them to love those cutting-edge people also.
Yes, I agree, Irene. My passion is in supporting and being a part of all these people in different fields that are pushing the edge and wanting to expand our consciousness and our ways of thinking. And they're out there doing it in all the fields. And, of course, they're the people that fire me up to do that fired me up to do this story.
And so who are some of these people that you really admire?
Well, for me, the first one that I have really been tracking and been to a lot of his programs on the Science Channel is Dr. Michio Kaku, and he is by far one of the top physicists in the world right now. He's based in New York. He teaches at the university up there. And his head, his mind is so amazing in that he is really pretty much stepping out front in all the other physicists and saying and daring to say that not only are there more than one dimension, more than three dimensions, but that there's more than one universe, that there could be parallel universes. And it's not even a could be. He's saying it's probably the way it is. And I really respect that he's taking, Irene, I really respect that he's taking that step with his own peers. His specials all on the Science Channel always deal with that, and he even deals with the possibility of other races in our galaxy that are far more advanced than we are, and he doesn't shy away from any of that. He says no. He says even if the last time I saw him, he said even if 99% of all the UFO sightings and the crazy stuff that comes out, even if just one was true, that would change the world. He says, I can't close the door to that. He says, because if one is true, then it will change everything, very much the same way that Christopher Columbus did when he taught us that the world was round. So he feels like you were on the precipice of something huge about to happen. He feels that very strongly, not only for science, but for our own race, for the humanity.
Exactly, and it's interesting that, you know, I mean, there have been a lot of people for over the last many centuries that believe this, but they were always considered like woo-woo or, you know, way back, the witches were burned at the stake and so on, but this is kind of the same thing. But all of a sudden now, a person like Dr. Rakaku, who's a physicist, and you know, people are starting to believe because he's got that credibility.
He does have a credibility. He's a beautiful man. He's Oriental, and he's got white hair, and he's just pushing the edge for all his students and for us, you know, the expanded audience. And no longer are we. There's too many people now that no longer are we threatened by the possibility of this that kind of expansion, and that our world may be totally different than we perceive it.
Exactly, and that's where the multi-dimensions come into play. So for our listening audience that maybe just are not quite aware of what we are saying when we talk about multi-dimensions, would you please explain that to them?
Okay, so what that would look like, and what the book Liberation challenges the reader to do, is to consider the fact that there could be dimensions that we can't see, that are just slightly out of phase with our own dimension here, our own Earth, our own reality that we see around us, but it's just very slightly out of phase, and because of that, our eyes cannot see that particular place. But just in the book, I say, well, just consider the possibility that this could happen and might be happening, just like the atom happened before we discovered it. So what that would look like is that there are many places that may have entirely different laws of physics and entirely different realities other than ours that we can't see, that we just simply can't see with our human eyes. I have noticed, I'm a big fan, Irene, of Ghost Hunters, and we watch Ghost Hunters on the Sci-Fi Channel a lot. It's a reality show where, and it's a huge deal right now.
Yeah.
There's people trying to prove what I've just said. They want to use science to prove that there are dimensions that we can't see, that there are spirits, that there are places that we can't see. And it's really huge right now. So that tells me that humanity, that our race really wants to know more.
Of course. And that's part of evolution.
Yes.
We do want to know more. And so, you know, when we're talking, you mentioned you watched the Ghost Channel or the Ghost Hunting Channel.
Yeah, it's the Sci-Fi Channel.
Sci-Fi, yes. And so you obviously believe that we've been here before.
I do.
And how does that look like to you?
So my spirituality is really very, very open. It includes taking from a lot of different spiritual paths and making my own spiritual path with it. But where I got, when I got the that there was life after death, was from the Buddhist idea of reincarnation. Now, without getting into too much about spirituality, because that's all through the book, but I just know that there's more than we understand to this. I cannot believe that there would be a divine intelligence and divine order that would just stop with one life. It's just doesn't feel right to me. I know that Einstein was trying to prove it with the theory of everything, and he died before he could prove it. And all of the top physicists right now, Stephen Hawking, everybody who's up there at the top right now is really racing to prove that that there's more than we understand, that this isn't just a one-time thing, and it isn't just the field of spirituality is really gone way beyond that right now. There's like a mad dash to prove the theory of everything, to prove that there's more than we can see, that there are other dimensions and realities in, out there.
Yes, and like you say, you know, Stephen Hawking right now is, everybody's buzzing about that, his theory. And it's interesting that people are starting to see the point.
Yes, and smart people are trying to, you know, starting to see it. People
exactly.
that will guide.
Yeah, and make the difference.
And make the difference.
Exactly, exactly. So how do you feel that previous realities or existences, how do they actually affect our present life?
Well, it feels like there's a momentum that our particular souls have gained from all the information that we have gathered and all the information that we have gathered from having lived more than one time. And this information goes forth into our present day. And the past, as I challenge the readers to look at in liberation, may be affecting what our present world is experiencing. There's a big buzz right now, Irene, in the History Channel. This is the History Channel.
Yeah.
And about aliens, ancient astronauts. And the fact that this planet has been visited not only once, but many, many, many times before. Now, for some people, that is just crazy stuff. And for other people, it's very, very much what happened. Where I'm at with it is that I am like Michio Kaku. I don't want to throw anything out. What if? What this liberation book does for the reader is it puts them there. It says, what if, just what if, I am like Michio Kaku. He's my hero right now because he doesn't throw anything out. He says, whatever is going on, we need to pay attention to, because humanity is moving as a whole, and every piece is important. So these guys, whoever they are, that are pushing the fact that aliens or ancient astronauts were here thousands of years ago and affected not only Egypt but all of South America and who knows where else. I mean, I've watched a bazillion programs on it. I don't want to throw anything out. I say, well, what if that's true?
Exactly.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Inside Scoop Live is a global internet-based broadcast specializing in interviewing published authors about their current books and areas of expertise. I'm Juanita Watson, the host of the show, and invite you to join me as I bring to the air both well-known and upcoming writers. You will hear my guests talk candidly about their books, their life experience, specific topics, and the business of being an author in today's literary world. Always interesting and current, my intention is to bring our audience high-quality discussions that spotlight a vast diversity of authors in the field today. Our interviews are syndicated and archived for availability 24/7 through direct podcast and MP3 download. And as always, I love to hear from listeners. Have a look at our website, InsideScoopLive.com. Send me an email, comment on previous guests, and let me know who you'd like to hear on the show. I'll do my best to bring you your favorite authors live and direct.
Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. We're speaking today with Maria Lucia, author of Liberation, Book 1 of the Intrusion Chronicles. As you have heard so far, Maria delves into the realm of possibilities. So stay tuned because we will be going even further into what could be possible and possibly is. Well, you know, we can go to the Bible, and some people believe that Ezekiel, what he saw was actually a UFO of some sort, is what we call it.
Absolutely.
You know? And, you know, so there it is, documented, and as the Bible is looked at and interpreted by many different ways, that is one way that people do interpret that.
And they do, and Shirley MacLaine is one of my heroes as well.
Yeah.
She started on this 30 years ago. She's like the mama of not being scared to just look into it. And she also mentioned Ezekiel.
Uh-huh.
Everybody mentions Ezekiel in the Bible, and that the Bible just said it over and over and over again, tried to tell us, you know, these are beings that have come in from the sky.
Yeah.
So it's just a way of looking at it. Liberation brings it in as a probability in the story, and it makes the reader say, it challenges the reader to say, well, if this is true, this could very well have happened.
Exactly.
The story, the plot, could very well have happened.
And, you know, your book does challenge, although it is considered to be fiction, science fiction, there's still a lot of bottom lying questions that people actually can go within and answer for themselves.
Absolutely,
Irene. It's that what if. Yeah.
And absolutely, and it reminds me of the Celestine Prophecy, which did that for everybody. Everybody who touched that book knew that it had truth in it. And also Dan Brown's book, The Da Vinci Code.
Exactly.
It touched people the same way. So I believe when a book has truth in it that goes beyond the words, the readers are going to feel it.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the unexplained events that have happened recently. You know, for 9/11, or you know what's happening in our society right now and within our government departments. I know that you have some views on that, and I'd like you to give those to our listening audience.
In the story Liberation, what I've done is I've created a story where there's a possibility that there's some unseen factors affecting our nation, and not only our nation, but the planet. And these, in the story, are called supernatural groups that not only we can't see, but groups that have a lot of power. Some of them are so powerful spiritually that we have interpret them as gods. And these supernatural forces are in the plot affecting a lot of the events that have happened on Earth. They are behind the scenes affecting and playing with the human race as if we were children, and toying to see how we would emotionally respond to our finances collapsing, and creating the collapse from behind the scenes, toying with to see how we would react to certain countries being activated for war, or a Haiti, you know, a huge earthquake of devastating proportions like that. The plot really emphasizes that these beings don't care about the earth, that these beings don't care about humanity. What they are doing is manipulating and controlling the human race as they would a toy to produce for them huge amounts of energy and suffering, which is what they live from. They live from disaster. They live from suffering. They live from catastrophic events, and they absolutely have to have control and love enslaving souls.
So do you believe that these are walk-ins?
Walk-ins. Okay, so I, at this moment, see it as a force in the supernatural dimensions, and it is extremely powerful. Living here in D.C. has inspired me to understand how powerful these forces are and how organized, Irene, incredibly organized. They've been at it for a long time. They know how to land an election for a person in a minute at a cost to their souls. Because nobody, you'd have to be incredibly powerful supernaturally yourself in this book to be able to deal with these forces. So walk-ins meaning can they inhabit a body?
Yes.
In the plot? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
They could do it and that person wouldn't be strong enough to keep them out. It would be like some horrible evil god, like in Harry Potter or whatever, trying to inhabit your body, and you just don't have the skills to deal with that kind of thing. But believe me, they don't care about that person they inhabit. They don't take sides. They don't care. They care only about their agenda, Irene.
So
their agenda is control and destruction.
So, Maria, this is in your plot. But, you know, and of course, I said this is a fiction book. However, do you believe that there's reality about this, too?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
And I also know that at this time in our movement forward as a race, the first area that the human race will have to deal with is not on the physical. It's going to be the spiritual. It's going to be in the supernatural realm. The first confrontation, the first is more than a battle. The first the word I want to use is like two forces, two samurai forces pushing against each other will be in the supernatural field, in the spiritual field. So all of the forces, no matter if they're spiritual forces that support Buddhism or spiritual forces that support the Native Americans or the spiritual forces that support the Hindus, all of these forces will have to deal with in the supernatural field with what's going on right now, because there's a confrontation over Earth and over humanity and over the direction it's going to go.
So some people believe that this is going to happen on or around December 21st, 2012, when all this convergence of forces is going to hit.
Yes. Yes. Irene, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, so, you know, I mean, there's a lot of beliefs. Some people just obviously say, well, you know, nothing's going to happen. And for some, probably nothing will happen because they're going to take whatever path they take. And others that are going to do the transformation or liberation or whatever, they will be affected by those forces.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I have read everything from Greg Braden, everything that can be possibly read about 2012, and watched all the programs on Nostradamus. I mean, I'm well versed. I watched the Left Behind series of the Christians. Certainly, everybody has got a piece and an important piece, Irene. All these, what I've done is look at the commonality between the Left Behind series of the Christians, the commonality with that and the Nostradamus and the Mayans and Greg Braden. And when you put it all on the table, you realize that it's coming to a culmination. What that looks like, I really don't think anybody knows. I really don't. And I really believe that it's up to the human race to decide what it's going to look like. And all of us.
Well, and individually, too.
Absolutely, individually.
Because I think, you know, my
good
belief
point,
is,
Irene.
Yeah, I think my belief, I know what my belief is, the fact is it's going to affect us individually, and we're going to have to decide within ourselves what direction we're going to go and how we're going to react to those conversions of forces.
Absolutely.
Because we're going to have to be making a lot of decisions ourselves.
We are.
For, you know, our own personal growth.
And where we're going to put our support.
Exactly, exactly.
The highest path for me, as you know, and as a book states, is the path of love.
Yes.
And the highest path of love. And that's different from the Egyptian and the Mayan.
Mm-hmm.
And Greg Braden is different from all of those. It's a different octave. It's a different... I've noticed that the path of love is completely a different octave from any of that. And love doesn't create destruction.
Yeah.
It creates love.
And that's, you know, the bottom line. And listeners, gosh, Liberation, Maria's book, is just really a place to... Although, as I said, it's fiction, but there is so many underlying messages and questions and that what if. So it's really an important piece, I feel, to us as readers, as those of us that are into growth and liberation, as you call your book, and transformation. It's an important piece of us to be able to actually go within and answer that what if. And I know that your book certainly gives the readers that opportunity. And so what I'd like to do is give our listening audience your website address.
It's www.andrusianchronicles.com, and that's A-N-D, like in dog, R-U-S-I-N, andrusianchronicles.com.
There you go, listeners. Again, gosh, Maria, thank you so much for taking the time and being with us, talking about one of my favorite topics, and also engaging our listening audience to become interested and go within and answer that what if.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Irene.
And thank you. This is Irene Watson with Inside Scoop Live. Thanks for listening, and come back and listen to our next audio. Bye for now.